Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Radio Nerd. This is going to be the last episode before the winter holidays, and so it's going to be a special one. I'm wearing my holiday sweater right now, and I'm trying to keep sane in light of exams. But, I hope everybody's doing well. And I hope everybody is going to continue to do well over the holiday season. I know that it can be a difficult time for a lot of people, myself included. It's also because, to go into myself a little bit here before we get into the episode, it's difficult for me particularly because my birthday happens to be Boxing Day. Make the inferences, Boxing Day was like when you were a kid, everyone is like, oh, that must be an awesome birthday. And you were like, yeah, sure. And then as an adult, everybody like sort of looks at you like someone just shot your puppy. And you're like, yeah, no, I know. So, yeah. Anyways, besides holiday difficulties, I hope everybody's able to have some good time, either to refresh from school if you're in school, just refresh from life if you have life. I don't know. Be able to take some time off and relax a little bit. Maybe get out of capitalism for a little bit. As much as you can with Christmas being everywhere. And I do say holiday season, and deal with that one. A little bit of housekeeping before that. So how is this last episode before the holiday season going to work? Well, I have exams. I actually don't have many exams, but I have big papers. That's the nature of my programs. My program is lots of papers. So I'm going to be busy for the next couple of weeks, and then I'm going on, like, air quotations vacation, which is just me not doing as much work because I don't want to. Although I will say that once I finish up my school stuff, I'm going to be recording some extra podcasts and giving myself some buffer because I think that would be good for my own mental health. What it means is that the next episode is going to be coming out, I believe, the second Monday in January. I believe it's the 10th. Or, sorry, the second Tuesday in January. It's the 11th. I'm mixing up the days I'm supposed to be handing in my podcast and the days that it goes live. But, so the next Tuesday, or the second Tuesday of December, I believe Radio Laurier goes back to regular scheduling on the 10th of January. So the 11th will be the first episode of Radio Nerd back. By the way, I do want to let you know, if there's some whirring in the background, there shouldn't be. I have a pop filter. But if you hear something like that, it's just a space heater. I live in a basement. It gets cold. I'm trying to keep it warm. I'm also having coffee right now, too. So if you hear that, then as well. Back to what we were discussing. So we'll be back in about a month. I'll discuss how this episode is going to link into the next episode, and there's going to be a little bit of a two-parter here, and then the second episode back is going to be the Gamergate one that I'm going to do over the holidays, and we'll see what I think up over the holidays for the rest of the episodes. As always, you can reach me on Instagram at radio_nerdwlu, or you can email radionerdwlu@gmail.com. If you want to interact, talk with me, have a conversation, let's have a conversation should be the tagline for this show in some regards, because I keep saying it, but it really is, like, it's not one person telling everybody how nerd culture should be changed or how nerd culture needs to be better. You know, it needs to be a conversation because we're all part of this greater like popular culture zeitgeist thing where we need to all have our influences on it. I would argue some people should have less influence, and that's my opinion on it. I mean, my opinion is specifically predicated on people who don't like me because of my sexual orientation, or don't like other people because of other unchangeable parts of their person, or of their person. But yeah, it's an opinion at the end of the day, right? Like, I'm entitled to have that. I think there are opinions, you know, saying that someone can't participate is much different than saying someone can't exist. There's a big gap there, in my opinion, again. These are opinions, and that's why it's a conversation, because I'd like to hear other people's opinions. So feel free to reach out. Feel free to message. I'm going to try to be more active on the Instagram as well. I'm not particularly good at that. Maybe just because social media has never really been my bag. I'm old, I guess. A bit of a boomer energy with regards to that. But anyways, I'm wanting to get more into that because I think that that's an important part of, you know, communicating with you guys who are listening to this. If anybody's listening, who knows? Maybe I'm speaking to nothing. I'm actually pretty cool with that. I like the sound of my own voice, so I'm cool with just that. Yeah, and we already went over recording over the holidays. I have on my little list of things here. So what's this episode? This episode is part one of two of the holiday watch list. So what I'm going to do is I have a list here of things that I've been wanting to watch, things that I've been wanting to sort of talk about on this show in some regard. I've probably mentioned some of them over the time of these episodes, and I haven't mentioned some of the other ones, but they're all sort of like nerdy or nerd adjacent, and they're all things that I would have been watching anyways, but I decided that I would build up this list. This would get me to watch specific things, even if I didn't really want to. So there are some things on here that I don't know if I really want to watch, but I'm going to watch and talk about. And basically what I'm going to do is, on the first episode back, I'm going to give a rundown of the list again. I'm going to have taken a few notes here when I'm watching them. I'm going to discuss what are good things and which shows I would, you know, recommend. I'm going to discuss which ones I might not recommend for whatever. In this episode, I'm going to talk about sort of some expectations I have for some of these things and some hopes, as well as if I have any biases with specific shows, which I do. Everybody has biases, you know. We do, you know, I work in play. Work and play, what? In a academic setting. And a big thing in the past, this is getting better in academia, but in the past in academia, a big thing is about limiting as much bias towards yourself as possible. And people might disagree with me on this, but, you know, I don't believe there are, there exists unbiased opinions, right? Bias is our own personal experience in many ways, right? It's what and how we look at the world. And I don't think there's a problem with that, so long as people who are discussing something, especially in academic contexts, are being upfront about their biases. And there's nothing wrong with being biased. You know, there are, you can find out there academic papers, to use an example that I had when I had a conversation with my roommate recently about this. You could find papers out there that both find evidence for and find evidence against climate change. I, you know, overwhelmingly, it's, there is climate change and climate change exists, right? But you can find those ones that disprove or find evidence that climate change is a natural phenomenon, that we didn't cause it and everything like that. To be clear, my opinion is we caused climate change and it's our responsibility to clean it as well. Well, it's the responsibility of the actual polluters, which are corporations. But this isn't a climate change podcast. I'm just touching on it here briefly. If you can have both of those be peer-reviewed articles that exist within academia, then you can have biased opinions that are upfront about their biases, I believe. That's just my opinion. Anyways, so let's get into it, because it's a relatively long list, and I will put a little note here again that if I don't get to all of these shows, and I think there's a movie in there. Yeah, there's a movie in there. If I don't get to all of these pieces of media, then I will... I apologize, but there's only so much time. And I do have other things that I do, like play video games and such, and you sit and read books. I probably should have added books to this list. I do have some books I wanted to read. Anyways, if I don't get to everything on this list, it's because, you know, time constraints or whatever happened. And I will talk about that at the beginning of the next episode. And maybe I will then watch those later on and mention them in a future episode, in like a side little segment on an episode that maybe I need to fill in a little bit more time in. I'm trying to think of how I can make this show a little bit more modular in ways, so that I can record smaller parts at a time and not just go for the whole marathon of an hour. Though I don't really mind, the hour doesn't really go by, like, it goes by pretty quickly. Like, I'm looking at my time right now, and, you know, I'm already, like, 12 minutes into this episode, and I've just been rambling about bias. But anyways, let's go in. So the first thing I have on my list, and something that I've mentioned on the podcast before, is She-Ra. And She-Ra is on Netflix. I believe it has, is it 5 seasons already? It's somewhere on here. It's 5 seasons. Anyways, into what I was going to talk about. She-Ra has been one of the most recommended things to me by people who I discuss my podcast with. People talk about how... Yeah, there's 5 seasons. People talk about how She-Ra is very positive LGBTQ representation. When I was talking to people about the very first episode, which is about LGBTQ representation, LGBTQ plus representation. Queer representation. I should just use that. It's better... I like that as a blanket term, because it's easier to say than the numerous different abbreviations. And I feel like if I don't say the full abbreviations, I'm somehow missing people, even though it's usually inclusive. It doesn't matter. Anyways, She-Ra has been recommended because it's very good at doing representation. It also links into last episode's topic a bit. Because She-Ra is the original She-Ra cartoon was a tie-in to He-Man, and it was intended to sell action figures to girls instead of like He-Man was very much aimed at boys. Though thinking now, He-Man's basically wearing like bondage gear in many ways, and he's like a jack dude, like just pecs full on display. That's interesting to think about a little bit. I mean, he's also sort of, he's in the Conan the Barbarian sort of feel of things. But anyways, She-Ra is Prince Adam, who is He-Man's alter identity. She, I think, was like stolen from the family at some point and taken away by bad guys. It's a spinoff, and Yeah, it was basically oh no, I'm wrong. Apparently it was an original creation. The characters were designed by Mattel, which is the toy company, but it was mostly done by an actual film company, which is interesting, actually, now that I think about it. That's really cool. Oh, it was also directed by a woman originally. Huh. Wow, that's fascinating. I know very little about original She-Ra because I have never seen it, and I've never seen the new She-Ra. I have the Wikipedia page open, so a little bit of grains of salt here. Anyways, She-Ra's the longest thing on this list. At the very least, I want to watch She-Ra. I have high hopes in the fact that people have recommended it to me all the time, and I've had it on my list on Netflix, which continuously grows, and I never watch any of it. I need to finish that. Next on the list, also from Netflix, is The Masters of the Universe Revelation. So the full title, this links in with She-Ra and links in with last episode. The full title, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, is the original 1980s cartoon. Masters of the Universe Revelations is a continuation of the story. It's got a lot of links with the original one, and it's sort of trying to continue the story because the story, like I talked about last episode, the show was meant to sell toys to kids, right? So it didn't really have a super complex narrative to it. It basically, you know, was adventures and episodic, which isn't bad. That's not a bad thing. But it never really had a complex or complete story, and it didn't have an ending to it. So Masters of the Universe Revelation sort of seeks to add on to it. I don't know if it ends it because there's two limited series of it now. I think each are 5 episodes. So it'll be easy to watch that in like a day or something. But one of the reasons why I want to watch it is because it apparently made a lot of like, I'm going to drop a term here and then I'm going to explain the term. It's grognard, right? And a grognard is it's more of a D&D term for people who played the older editions and are sort of like purists and gatekeepers, and they want everything to stay the same, you know, conservatives basically. But grognards you find everywhere, right? They're gatekeepers, they're people who like want to keep the hobby pure or want to keep, wow, these, you know, the more that I say some of these things out loud, like that these types of people say, the more they sound like really terrible. Anyways, these are the types of people who want to keep the originals, right? They don't like remakes. They don't like inclusion in their things. They want everything to stay the same. They're like, it was fine back then. Like, why do you need to change it? And it's like, well, because you're not being critical of your own love, and it wasn't fine. And you can't tell that it's not fine because you're an old white man now and you're stuck in your ways and you have no idea. Anyways, it made a lot of those people angry. And I'm curious as to why. I'm also hesitant because Masters of the Universe Revelation is made by Kevin Smith. And if you don't know who Kevin Smith is, he's a pretty big comic book and nerd guy. He was Silent Bob in Jay and Silent Bob. I don't know if that's a dated reference now. Clerks, he was in that too. He directed Clerks and Clerks 2, right? Kevin Smith is pretty well known. But Kevin Smith is also, how do I describe this? Complicated. He seems to be a good guy who stands up for a lot of positive things within the nerd community. But he also has some real, like, some sticking points where he also props up a lot of bad and negative sort of parts of nerdhood as well. Complicated, I think, is the best word here. So I'm going into Masters of the Universe Revelation positive but hesitant, which is basically how I live nowadays within media. I go into everything positive but hesitant, other than She-Ra, because She-Ra's been recommended to me a bunch. What are we doing next? Arcane. Let's talk about it. All right. So, Arcane is the League of Legends TV show on Netflix. And if you don't know, League of Legends is made by Riot Games, who have featured in a small place, because I am not super big on Riot Games games. I don't play their games all that much. So it wasn't as important to me with regards to the podcast, but they are just as bad as Blizzard Activision, or as, what was the other company I talked about? Ubisoft. They're just as bad with regards to, the treatment of their employees, specifically employees who are, not white, not men, and not straight. But even those employees are treated pretty terribly too, because Riot's a type of company that, you know, has a lot of crunch. These are video game terms that I'm going to throw out here, but you know, they crunch is basically like forcing your employees to work over time, over an extended period of time, in order to finish a game for a predetermined release date that people who don't work on the game decided to put. And by people who don't work in the game, I mean like higher ups in companies who don't like code or do art or any of the other aspects of a video game. Anyways, Arcane has been huge. Arguably a success, an astounding success, with how much I've heard about it online and even in person with people. So Riot Games makes shows now, and I'm wondering why they're making shows, other than the fact that they have enough money to throw around now, apparently. I'm wondering if maybe something is coming down the tubes that they want to distract people from, another lawsuit or something. But Arcane, I'm going to be really critical of, because of this baggage I have with regards to Riot Games. I wouldn't say it's baggage. I'd say it's like healthy skepticism. But plenty of people really love it. And I've also heard really positive things about its portrayal of mental health in specific characters within the show. So we'll see. It's not super long. I'm not going to lose a whole bunch of my life or anything watching it. It's not like I'm going to be angry that I got to watch it or anything like that. I probably would have watched it anyways. But I am letting you guys know that I'm going into it expecting to have some things to say about it, I think, would be my opinion. I could come out of it thinking it was fantastic. I'm still going to, in the next episode, mention some tidbits about Riot Games and about things that they've done in the past, or perhaps things that they have done in the time from this episode to next episode. That would be interesting, because I think that's important. They can't, companies shouldn't be able to throw their money around, give us something flashy, and then dodge all responsibility for the problems they are causing within their own workplaces, within the world. That's just letting PR companies win at the end of the day. At the end of the day, or PR firms, or whatever. Anyways, next piece of the list. Hawkeye. Now, this is the newest Marvel show. I haven't started watching it, so I'll start watching it after this episode, because it's going to be finished coming out by the end of December, so that'll be nice to watch. You know what? There was something that I wanted to add to this list that I'm going to add ad hoc, like in a little bit here. Hawkeye. Hawkeye's the last Marvel series this year. the last of a lot of really good Marvel series, all of which I can say I thoroughly enjoyed. Even Marvel's What If, which was removed from the rest of... spoilers if nobody's seen this. It was removed from the rest of the MCU, but somewhat attached in some ways too. And it was fascinating. It was really it was interesting seeing a Marvel cartoon that was done well, because I don't think there's been one of those in a really long time. I'm a fan of DC cartoons. They're a lot better. But anyways, Hawkeye's latest Marvel series, I have heard it's not as good as the other ones. I mean, if we run down the list, WandaVision was something completely new and something completely different from a completely different, like a way of telling a story in a unique and interesting way through the lens of a character that has always kind of been in the background and is now being given a more spotlight intensive focus, and was incredible. Also, Elizabeth Olsen is, oh my God. But anyways, incredible actress, also incredibly good looking too. Just to show my full hand there. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was really good. There are definitely criticisms that can be leveled at it, but I think that for Disney and for who is making it, it was a really good expression of the direction they're wanting to go. And I think that having a show like Falcon and the Winter Soldier opens the door to having more conversations like this. As well, I thought the backlash was hilarious, and I was super happy to hear that it was happening, because a lot of those people are idiots, because, you know, Falcon became Captain America in the comic books, if you don't know. That's a very big thing. Also, I mean, Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan as, like, buddy cop, you know, thing was fantastic. I also gotta say, I mean, everybody in the Marvel universe is really hot. I don't know why I'm going on about it, but, you know, Anthony Mackie, goddamn. And Sebastian Stan, also. I'm not sure what it is. The Marvel movies. Loki was incredible, too. We don't need to talk about Tom Hiddleston. Everybody knows he's attractive. But the fact that, you know, spoilers. Oh, also, Loki does an amazing amount of world building with regards to what's coming in these next sort of phases with regards to Marvel. And I really appreciated that. That was really incredible. The sort of story styling of it being like a... like sort of a mystery of what's going on, and then them taking turns here and there. It was incredible, all the way down to the final reveals at the ends of the characters. Oh, honestly, like Loki, I think was the best. I liked WandaVision for the new things it was doing. I liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier because it was kind of like a lot of the old Marvel stuff, but done in a slightly different way. Not completely different, but it was done in a way that was good. And then Loki was just like, I feel like a taste of what's to come. And Hawkeye, I don't know if Hawkeye, I feel like Hawkeye is going to be a return to a lot of what we already know as Marvel. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, but I'm not sure if it's a good thing or not. We're going to have to see what it's like. Some of the characters I'm excited to see in Marvel movies that have never been shown on the live screen. I like Jeremy Renner. I just think he's a cool guy. And I like watching him do movies. So I'm curious and hesitantly positive. This is a theme. I think I've talked enough about Marvel. I'm going to be talking about Marvel again in a few parts of the list. But let's go to something that I'm not sure I'm excited to watch. Squid Game. And you're probably like, Kiefer, why are you reviewing Squid Game so long after it came out? And that's because I didn't watch it. I haven't watched it. And you might be like, what? Why are you not watching Squid Game? And that's because I honestly was not excited to watch Squid Game. I don't need to watch a piece of television to know that capitalism is bad or to have an examination of why a battle royale type of thing is definitely a possibility within our world. You know, the idea of Squid Game is evidence. It's South Korea, where it's created and where the director is from and the creator. It's incredibly capitalistic, right? More so than the United States. It's, you know, capitalist up to the forehead, you know? And this is like a huge critique of it. But then to see Squid Game become a huge commercial success, to be on Netflix, to be all around the world, for everybody to be out there, you know, out there doing stuff, to see things like Mr. Beast's YouTube video of Squid Games. Capitalism absorbs everything, even critiques of capitalism. And I'm going to have a lot to say about Squid Game after I watch it. I don't know if I'm going to be happy after watching it. I think I'm going to be sad. I think I'm going to be in a bad mood. So I'm probably going to watch Squid Game, and then I'll prepare to watch something else that I'm really looking forward to after Squid Game. I also really dislike Battle Royales. I think it's, as someone who consumes a lot of media from Japan specifically, but Asia in general, and also has seen, like, Hunger Games, I'm a little tired of the genre. It was almost like early 2000s zombie movies for a little bit there, where there was too much of it, or when we had all the vampire movies coming out, or TV shows too. It just seems like a weird obsession that I'm kind of done with, and I've been done with for a while, just because I don't really see any pleasure in it. The fact that he made a TV show about people being wanting to watch people die to try to get money, and then so many people watched that show and enjoyed that show, says a lot, I think, you know? And I think it's also very indicative of our current civilization, you know? Let's save my Rome parallels that I was about to make for when I discuss Squid Games in the next episode. Who knows? I might end up rambling in this next episode, and it might end up going over, and I might have to make it into two episodes. It's very possible. It could be part... This could be part one of three. Who knows? Yeah. Let's go on to something I'm really looking forward to. The Witcher. So the second season's coming out, delayed by COVID. And I watched the first season and I loved it. It was incredible. I've never played the games. I've never read the books. I'll put that out there. I just watched the show and it was fantastic. Both Yennefer and Geralt are just... This episode's really... Oh, wow. I'm realizing that the decisions I make to watch shows are very indicative of what I, of who I just want to ogle for a while. But, I mean... Yennefer... I don't know Yennefer's actress's name, but she's incredibly attractive. And Geralt is played... Why am I forgetting his name? Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill is just chef's kiss. I mean, him playing Superman was pretty amazing. And then him as Geralt, I think, is a much better fit for him as an actor. And also, like, I swear you could, like, cut paper on how sharp his jawline is. Holy crap. Anyways, I really like The Witcher's world. It's sort of, like, touching on dark fantasy. It's not quite grimdark, and it's not, like, so over-the-top dark fantasy that, you know, I feel like I've gone back to, you know, my goth phase or whatever. I didn't have a goth phase. I'm just using that as an expression. But this is definitely my guilty pleasure. I really like The Witcher. I don't know what it is. Like, the choreography for the sword fights are incredible. And it just draws you in. It's like kind of episodic, and it's done, and it doesn't hold your hand, right? It's sort of like Game of Thrones was at the beginning, you know? It didn't explain anything. It just sort of bounced around the world, you know? And I like that, because I don't like having my hand held. I like when a piece of media assumes that I'm at least, you know, nominally intelligent and can follow multiple storylines at the same time. I like that. Maybe that's a me thing. I don't know. Another thing that I don't know if I'm 100% excited for. The next part of this list is going to be the live-action Cowboy Bebop. I'll let that one sink in for any anime fans who are listening. I will state a first bias. I haven't actually seen all of the original Cowboy Bebop, the original anime from the 90s. I think it was in the 90s. Anyways, I just really never got around to it. I started watching it with a friend of mine, and I think then COVID hit, and we haven't picked it back up yet. We should, because I would like to finish watching the original Cowboy Bebop. But I'm going to watch the live action, because there's been a lot of sort of different opinions about it. I would like to make my own opinion about it. You know, it looks stylistically really good, and it kind of reminds me of the original in positive ways. I'm kind of hopeful, but anime to live action adaptations are a fraught territory filled with a lot of terrible things, from Netflix's Death Note adaptation, which is absolutely terrible, especially when compared to what I would say is a masterpiece of the original Death Note. I love the original Death Note. To the Ghost in the Shell movie, which was also incredibly disappointing, because Ghost in the Shell is fantastic. To the Dragon Ball movie, which was horrible, horrible, horrible. Not even in a funny way. It's not like The Room horrible. It's just horrible. So, I'm not going into this like in a particularly positive mood. Who knows? It might be really good. That's always a throw off. It also might be terrible. And if it's terrible, then whatever. I think it's only one season, and I'm not going to watch anymore if they do another season. Whatever. I'm sort of just throwing stuff out here. We're going to go to a movie. Maybe I might ad hoc add some like books here near the end. I'm realizing that I'm going through this list a lot quicker than I assumed I was going to. So I might like at some point add some books in here and then continue with that. But anyways, the next thing we're going to talk about is a movie that I'm going to go see. A movie that's in theaters in a couple of weeks. And it's Marvel. Spider-Man, No Way Home. I'm excited because I'm really wanting to watch it. Willem Dafoe's in it, and I love Willem Dafoe. He's just so incredible. I don't know what it is about Willem Dafoe, but I love that guy. along with other like former Spider-Man villains sort of popping in and other former Spider-Mans, I'm just really excited to see what it sets up for the next sort of phase. Because the end of the last phase was sort of Spider-Man dealing with the problems of or the after effects of Stark dying and what that meant for him and for the MCU as a whole, and, you know, whether or not he could fill the space of that. But there's some there's buts here, right? Spider-Man has been having a lot of artificial hype surrounding it. There's been TikToks talking about tickets and tickets being sold out. I would really put it out there that no movie can ever truly be sold out. There are far too many theaters nowadays that you're never ever going to see it sold out. And you don't need to go see it opening weekend. Go on a Monday night, a Wednesday night. Go on a night where nobody's going to go out to see a movie, and there's nobody in those theaters. I guarantee you that. There will be tickets, and it feels really scummy that Disney's kind of like artificially hyping it in ways, and it's being artificially hyped by people. You don't need to. Watch those trailers. I didn't need anything else to be hyped up for that movie. I don't need to go see it the day it comes out. I'm not going to go on the internet and, like, accidentally spoil something. And even if I do some, like, key part of the plot, I still am going to go watch it. I was spoiled Endgame for Tony Stark dying. I wasn't spoiled Captain America's, you know, thing. I think someone might have mentioned, like, Captain America, like, wasn't going to be in it anymore. But his contract was up anyways. And it also was kind of telegraphed in many ways, like Tony and what's Captain America's name? Wow. Steve. Tony and Steve's sort of mutual, endings were the result of them being the two sort of flagship characters of the of this like section of Marvel movies, right? The Infinity Saga, right? Them being retired and opening the way for other characters, I think, was bound to happen at some point. You can be sad about it and upset that it happened, or, you know, like, rattled that you got spoiled, but I think it's important to retire some characters after some time and to bring in new characters, to bring in new actors, to, you know, embrace different ideas about what you're gonna do. Spider-Man No Way Home is still got me really hyped up. I'm gonna add on to the list just right now because I haven't seen these movies, Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. Is it Legend of the Ten Rings or just the Ten Rings? I can't remember. Anyways, Shang-Chi, which I haven't seen yet, which I really need to see, and I think it's on Disney Plus, which I'm not going to watch on Disney Plus, but anyways, maybe a friend has it that'll loan me. Anyways, and The Eternals, which is still out in theaters, I believe. I don't know if it's going away or not, but I want to go see The Eternals because I actually think it looks good, and I like what it sets up too for the Marvel Universe because it sets up a lot of deeper lore into how they think and conceive of their universe. Also, Marvel Cosmic Weirdness is awesome, and you will never, ever convince me that it's not. End of story. I'm looking forward to the Thor movie, too. That'll be great. Taika Waititi can make all my movies. That's all I want. Anyways, so I'm going to do, like, three Marvel movies here. I know that it is a lot of Marvel, but I like it. I liked comic books back in the day when I was younger. I dig superheroes are really cool. And I don't know, there's something about how we depict our larger-than-life heroes that sort of says a lot about our culture, I think. So it's a little bit of examination from a sociological point of view. Yeah. There's me throwing some academic stuff in there, so it sounds like I'm actually talking about something important, but I'm just wanting to go and watch Marvel movies. The next thing is the Book of Boba Fett, which comes out around Christmas time, and which I'm going to be watching, because so far, The Mandalorian has been knocking the ball out of the park. It's been incredible. I've loved it. Honestly, if Star Wars hadn't have done the sequel trilogy and instead just did a bunch of TV shows, I think it would have been so much better. They clearly have an idea of where they want to take series and how they want them to interlock with each other. Something that they did not have, and which is my number one criticism for the sequel trilogy, right? I think a lot of the individual choices made in the sequel trilogy were good. I think the characters were great. I think the actors were fantastic. I think that there were story beats that were really good and really positive. I also think that J.J. Abrams sucks, and that not going into a trilogy without a concrete idea at the beginning of how it is going to end is about the stupidest writing move I've ever heard. Additionally, I think that constantly linking it back to the Emperor was dumb, stylistically and creatively. I think Snoke was a character that could have been really interesting that they just dropped off. And I think they wasted Adam Driver as an actor, because Adam Driver is incredible. And he's also really attractive. But have you seen him, like, shirtless riding a horse? Anyways, what is this episode? What am I doing? What did they put in my coffee today? Star Wars. Book of Boba Fett looks really good. Boba Fett as a character is incredible. Is his name Morrison? I can't remember his first name. Let me look that up one sec. Not Wikipedia. I want the Wikipedia. Yeah. Tamira Morrison, who played him in The Mandalorian. He played all of the clones in and Jango Fett as well in Star Wars Episode 2 and Star Wars Episode 3. He's Boba Fett in the new one, because Boba Fett's obviously the same person as Jango Fett. Anyway, hopefully that's not a spoiler for anybody. But the Book of Boba Fett is about, after watching the first trailer, making like a little bit of a prediction of what it might be about. It definitely seems like it's sort of diving into the criminal underworld of Star Wars, which has been done in other forms of media. It's been done in video games to a certain degree, and it's been done in old books that have now been unceremoniously uncanonized. So there goes a whole bunch of time that I spent reading The Adventures of Jason and Jaden Solo when I was younger, which were awesome, by the way. But no, they don't exist anymore. Thank you, Disney. I wasted a whole bunch of time learning a whole bunch of stuff about Star Wars extended canon that doesn't matter anymore. So, that's being a nerd in the 21st century, I guess. Anywho, Book of Boba Fett looks incredible. It looks like a Godfather-esque, not that I've ever seen The Godfather, but it looks like a Godfather or gangster movie, but done very much in the style of sort of space. It's being directed by Robert Rodriguez, I think. Is that who it is? He directed the episode that Boba Fett first came in. Sorry. That was not fun. Feels like I might be losing my voice a little bit. Yeah, it is Robert Rodriguez who's producing it and directing it. Anyways, Robert Rodriguez did the first episode that Boba Fett was in The Mandalorian, and that was incredible. And I think Robert Rodriguez brings something to Star Wars. It brings like a ferocity to characters. He brings something to... And he lets Timu Morrison sort of just get loose. And the way that Timu sort of like... or Tamira embraces like his sort of Maori heritage within what he does on screen is amazing. And it's something I really enjoy watching. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm really looking forward to it. I might not be reviewing this the first one back, because I did just check and it premieres on the 29th of December and it goes until February. So this is something that I'm looking forward to and that I might talk about later. The Mandalorian is also supposed to be getting a third season sometime soon. And the fact that, you know, there's like Ahsoka coming out soon as well, which doesn't have a release date. But there's all these TV shows. The Obi-Wan Kenobi TV show for Star Wars I'm really looking forward to. Oh, you know what? This is just like... This is me just gushing about things that I'm really excited for. Which is fine. I don't care. It's my podcast. I can do whatever I want. Within extents or constraints. Anyways, it looks... A lot of these look really good. I don't know how I feel about the Andor TV show or Lando TV show. Lando's a cool character, but I don't... he's basically token. He's basically a token character, right? Like... There's problems with him. And if they address those problems, then go for it. Andor, I have no idea why this is a TV show. Were people really that excited about him? I thought he was okay in Rogue One. Like, Rogue One was a really good movie, but... it doesn't matter. Anyways, Book of Boba Fett looks like it's going to be amazing. I really hope Obi-Wan Kenobi is good, too. It's coming out next year as well. And so is... The Mandalorian. I don't know when it's coming out. Is it just expected to release 2022? Yeah. Well, I wish there was an actual time, but whatever. All right. Final part of the list. I'm actually not going to add any books, but if I do read any really interesting books, which I might, I will bring them up in the episode at the beginning of the year. But, yeah. The final part of the list is that I'm putting on here, and this one has a question mark beside it because I was recommended it by a friend, and that friend does have good taste. And if that friend is watching, then I apologize for like talking about this, but I've heard some bad things, and I shouldn't say bad things. I've heard some less than positive things, and all of the trailers didn't really get me super excited. But they're not being fully, like, okay, cards on the table. Wheel of Time, the series that's coming out on Prime Video. It's, man, so many of these series are on streaming platforms. Wow. That's really the only exciting stuff that's happening. I guess it's where the money is. Anyways, Wheel of Time. Is based on a book series, a 14 book long book series, which is like, oh, that I've never read. There are problems with the books. And I'm not going to get into the problems with the books, but Wheel of Time is being run by people who are not the book writer because he has died. And from what I've heard, is not being 100% faithful to the books, which is good. I also don't know when it ends, so promising to watch it all and then review and talk about it in the new year is possibly not something I can do. But if I get to it, I will watch it and I will check it out. I'm not going to be watching it after Squid Games, that's for sure. But I'll probably watch Witcher after Squid Game. I think that would be a good combination. Just watch Squid Game, be sad, watch Witcher, and just ogle Henry Cavill, because why not? Something about him with the orange eyes. Wow. Damn. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, that's the list. So there's some things I'm really looking forward to, some things that I'm not so sure about. I would say positively cautious would describe my attitude towards media in general these days, but also right now specifically with regards to this. So we'll see. We'll see how things go and how things are. Like I said, I might not get to everything because, who knows how much time I'm going to have to watch these things over the holidays. I don't know what I'm doing over the holidays 100% right now. So if I have the time, I'm going to be watching the majority of these things because I want to do a podcast episode about it. But I'm also going to be recording some podcast episodes for next year. I'm going to be doing all these things. Anyways, I'm going to end it off. I hope you guys have a fantastic holidays. Hope you guys have a good New Year's. Happy New Year to everybody who's listening. I'll be talking to you again in the new year, so that'll be interesting. 2022, something about saying those words, but then we don't have flying cars and utopian living standards just makes me kind of sad. A little sour too. Whatever. Anyways, I hope you guys have a really great holiday. I hope everything goes well. Just know that you can get through the holiday season if it's a tough time for you. Sometimes the holidays are really bad and it sucks. And I definitely know that, like I said earlier. I'm drowning myself in cool media. So maybe you could do the same. That was a figure of speech, though. Anyways, have a great one and Happy New Year again. And I'll see you guys again in the new year. Bye.